Boise, it's the Tech Webcast with your host, Brad and John.
Due to construction, the information highway will be closed until further notice.
Oh, crap. You should be. It's horrible.
Administered beatings to nearly 3,000 clients.
Well, that could be quite painful.
Your computer is about to crash. Place your tray and seat backs in their upright positions. Place your head between your legs and kiss your keyboard goodbye.
Oh, well.
When I stop, we'll file out. Take cover fast. Sounds like a really crappy plan, but okay.
Those are many things you don't want to happen. So tune in to the Tech Webcast. Right here with your hosts, John and Brad, coming to you from Australia. Tech Webcast, everything tech-related, with your tech geeks, John and Brad. And now, here is Tech Webcast.
That's all right.
It's just completely crap, just random stuff, just random shit.
It's very good.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, welcome to this special episode of the Tech Webcast. We have Cody B. Christian talking about his mixer setup and other things in between. Enjoy. This has been Tech Webcast, hosted by Brad and John. Go to techwebcast.info. Thanks, bye. This is
testing one, two, testing.
Oh, shit!
Testing 1, 2. Alright, testing 1, 2. There we go, now you can hear me. Should be able to hear me pretty good, actually. Especially if I mute that, then, well, it'd probably be a lot better now, wouldn't it? Testing. Okay, there we go, that's a little bit cleaner. Alright, testing. Testing 1, 2, can you hear me good? No peeking? Because no peeking, that's a good thing. Bring up our gain just a little bit. A little bit of bass to my voice so I can make myself sound really good. Because I like making my voice sound good. Good is good. Alright. Just for fun. Just for fun. Let's throw in a little bit of echo just for fun, you know? Because we're kind of cool like that. Testing. 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 Okay. So as you stand here in this big giant hall, I'm kidding. Let's not do that. Anyways. So, you want to know how I have this set up? Well, I mean, the setup changes really depending upon what exactly I'm doing. Like in this particular case, for streaming, it's pretty simple, and there's a kind of a loop going on with this, but hey, it does work. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm using two channels of the mixer. Currently, I'm using three because I'm using the mic, of course. The two channels I'm using is 7 and 8. Now, this is a 10-channel mixer. 10-channel mixer. Yeah, I can spit it out right. So basically, you have 7 and 8 on one channel, 9 and 10 on one channel. But there's two switches up here at the top that allows me to switch between whether I'm using 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. That goes back to the thing I was talking about earlier about I have 4 line channels, but I can only use 2 of them at a time. And I flip the switch, I can use the other one. What I mean by line channels, not necessarily the line channels, but more of, it's the channels that have the inputs that you would use for a sound card, like a laptop or your iPhone or whatever else. Basically, it has the standard connectors, well, sometimes they're white and red or black and red, and that's for left and right. Now, you can use regular line insert for that, but it's going to be mono, not stereo, unless you have a special little connector. I don't recommend doing that, but it can be done. Alright, so basically, with that said, each of these channels I have, currently the setup is I have the iMac and the Mac Pro here, but with or without the Mac Pro, it would either be my laptop or my PC down here instead. Basically, both these lines, there is the SoundGuard outputs coming from those machines into left, I mean, into channel 7 and channel 9. Then the master mix is coming out of the board and going back into, in this case, channel 9, which is the Mac Pro. And that is the feed that I'm sending you guys right now on the stream. And that's the feed I'm sending you guys on the stream is the master mix. Instead of the master mix going to my monitors or speakers in this case. Now, what I'm doing for that is I actually have what's on this particular board. I wish my board had it. You have a control room output, which is also tied in with the headphone output. So like right now, I have the speakers off because I'm listening on headphones. The volume control, the independent volume control for the headphones also controls the monitors or control room output. So what I do in that case is the control room output on this mixer is left and right. So I have left and right running out of this board going to the speaker setup, which our speaker setup is totally different. I'll explain that another time. So within doing that, I can control the volume of the board for just those speakers. I could also control that on the speakers themselves, but that's a different story. So basically, I can control it, which is very useful, and I can control that independently of the master mix that is going to which you guys are hearing, which is very useful. Best things about this board I really, really like is the EQ on this board. You have a high, a mid, and a low. A lot of low-end or cheaper-priced mixers, you only have a typically a mid and a low or a high and a low with no mid. I like having the high, mid, and low. I can get my EQ just the way I want it to sound. Another thing is this mixer, it's got the digital effects. I would personally, instead of having the digital effects, I'd prefer to have either another auxiliary send and receive, or probably an effects channel, which basically means I would use an external effects processor instead of the onboard, because then I can actually use the effects channel as an auxiliary if I needed to, which is the bigger mixers I use is what they have. Like one I have is three auxiliaries, and they're all three are used for separate outputs to either subs or highs and so on. Let's see, in this case, what else can I explain? Get your balance, get your mutes. The mutes, I love the mutes on this mix. They're very clean, and they work really good. Of course, it has phantom power. Don't really use it that much. It's got USB, not the best. It's okay, but it cuts in and out. But for recording, if it didn't cut in and out, it has a very clean noise floor, meaning very little noise floor. In some cases, almost no noise floor. It's got a contour as well to kind of contour the sound to the master mix. There's two buttons right here called tape USB to control headphones. I can basically hit this button and I can monitor without sending to the master mix the tape in or USB in. I can monitor it on the headphones or control room output, as well as the tape to mix or tape USB to mix. I can monitor the tape or USB but to the master mix. Basically, I can send it to the mix, which is good in case if I want to send certain pieces of, say I have Soundtrack open or Logic open, and I want to send one of the tracks. I want to dedicate that track to the USB output to this mixer, and then I could be sending that track into the master mix over the entire mixer. And what's good about that is if you do use the USB function on this mixer, there's an independent volume knob on the back of the mixer where I can change the gain of the USB coming in. But if you're using USB, you're going to be using software, which you can change it there as well. really about it I can think about this board. I mean, the rest of it's pretty standard stuff. You got quarter, pretty much across the board, it's all a quarter inch jacks and XLR. You got XLR out of the board as well as quarter out of the board, which is good because, well, what's good about it is you can use both the quarter inch and the XLR at the same time. A lot of mixers, this is, doesn't matter on the brand, a lot of mixers, they won't let you use one or the other. Basically, you plug the XLR in, it cuts off the quarter inch and vice versa. Which really sucks if you need multiple, you know, outputs. Then you would have to go to a breakout box or some type of other device to then split the master out. In this case, you don't have to worry about that because it allows you to run out of both at the same time. Now, a lot of times with the mixers, the bigger mixers in the two theaters that I work in, they rarely will run their mixers in stereo mode because simply microphones aren't stereo. Now the instruments are stereo, they're all mono. So a lot of times we'll run the mixers in mono and we'll use the left side for the high up speakers, and then we'll use the right side for the bottom speakers like your subs and your mids. That's how we do it at the one theater. At the other theater that I just recently rewired, it's a full stereo setup. And that's mainly because I like to be able to control my left side and my right side independently because of the way it's set up there. And then I have three auxiliaries that control the effects return as well as the subs and the monitors that are on stage for whoever's singing. Which is great because I can give them their own mix on a per channel basis. Put them in the subs, don't put them in the subs, give them extend their channel to the effects chain if I want, or remove them from the effects chain, as well as send them to the sub or send them to the monitors, which is good because you have some singers. So you have a singer on two and a singer on three. A singer on two may want to hear himself on the monitors but not really hear any music in the monitors, where singer three may want it the other way. They may want a lot of music in the monitors, but they don't really want to hear themselves. And I actually had that case the last play I did. So it's not so frequent, you know, for you to not have that type of request. So it's good to, you know, have, you know, all the options, you know, when you're working with the bigger stuff. But back to this mixer. This mixer, for its price, for what it does, is perfect. It's more geared to doing a live recording of like a band. However, it must be a very small band because 10 channels is barely enough to do a band. You really, especially if you're doing drums. Drums could easily have, you know, 8-10 microphones just on a drum, you know, just on a drum set. So it's depending upon the drum set that is. That's rare, but you know, it is possible. So, you know, it really depends on the setup. So it depends what you're doing. I mean, for what you're doing, the small mixer you have is probably plenty. But as you build on, you may want to expand. And that's so one of the things I want to fix with, I'm actually getting into a lot of hardware lately and really understanding how these units work. Audio, video, so on, hardware in general. So I'm working on my own mixer, actually, at the moment. My own mixer, that it's great because with my own mixer, I can do a lot of things that I really want to do. My biggest point is, you know, for me, I'm not rich by any chance. I have all this because it took me a very long time to save up to get what I have here and help from very nice people. So within saying that, I'm working on building a mixer. It'll be a lot different design than the way these mixers are. Have a lot of the same features, but the look of it will be a lot different. Basically, it'll be bigger. It'll be like the big desk unit you see. Reason being is, I want to build a mixer so the channels are expandable. Meaning, if you only need two channels, just only use two channel modules. If you need 15 channels, use 15 channel modules. Basically, I'm gonna make it where depending upon the size of your application, just buy channel modules, and then you just drop in and plug in those channel modules, or however many as you want. As well as there'll be multiple types of channel modules, whether it's the it's like channel 1 through 6 on this mixer is your standard XLR mic and line input. I'm sorry, your mic, line, and insert inputs. But then, you know, you may need only a couple of those, maybe one of those, maybe none of those. But you need, you really need more of the, as I call, lines or RCANs for computers and different stuff. So, within saying that, basically with the setup I'm building, you can choose, hey, maybe I need 10 of those, but only one of those or two of those, you know. And it'll make it very flexible. And that's my biggest thing. And mixers and preamps are some of the simplest audio devices to build. I mean, really, they're very simple. I'm working on a preamp right now that's very small preamp for it's a 2-channel preamp. It's powered by a 9-volt battery. It's used for basically camera rigs. Now you can buy them. You're looking $400 to $600 to buy one, or you can build one for about $30. I'm going with the build your own, and I know exactly what's going on with it. If something breaks, I can fix it myself. Can't do that with the ones you buy, and the warranties on those too suck. So. So it's if you know how to do it, then DIY is the way to go. It's a lot cheaper too. But yeah, man, that's I know it's a little lengthy there for you, Brad, but it's pretty much that's the gist of what you wanted to know. And yeah, man, that's pretty much it. Got any other questions? In that case, anybody that's watching, what very few people are, if there is any really people watching, got any questions, feel free to ask. I'd be glad to answer them. Yeah, man. Brad, you go right ahead. I don't mind. You totally can do that. If you want to, like, add it in with your own stuff, or it's totally fine by me. And if I'm not busy, you ever have any questions or want to bring me on, I will be glad to help you out, man. Hey man, not a problem, dude. It's not a problem. I need to dig out my other stand for this mic later so I don't have to hold it. Actually, Brad, I've actually considered getting back into podcasting because I still really enjoy doing podcasting, and it's like I said, something I still enjoy doing, but it's always confused really what topics to talk about, and I may end up just talking about media in general. Hardware and all, basically like what I just did for you, same type of deal, you know what I mean? Actually, I've thought about Brad, I should have recorded that on mine and just sent you the file, but it's okay. It is a lot of fun, and I really do miss it. Now, I mean, shoot, I could go out there and produce a show, you know, a high quality, you know, 6-camera high definition, you know, freaking show with its own sets and all kinds of crap, but to me, really, besides not having the time or the extra people to help, I have the gear, have the place to do it. It's just not having the people and not really having content. Content's key, as you know. With no content, you have no show. So, pretty much where that goes. Cool, dude. So yeah, you got any other questions for me, Brad? Ah, yes, the glorious iPhone. What's your iPhone questions? From what I've seen, it's going to be pretty interesting. The biggest things I like about 3.0 is copy and paste, and I really hope it's going to be more stable. I also do like the hardware aspect of it. of how you can basically how the software on the iPhone that you create can access the hardware that the iPhone could be connected to. And I think that's going to be very useful as well. I could actually see myself making use of that if I decide to become an iPhone developer, which I'm still on the edge of possibly deciding to become a developer. I may do it, may not. I really think that an iPhone in general, if any of you jailbreak people, out there, it's great, but at the same time, it's very unstable. Like, right now, my phone's having all kinds of problems, and I really need to just wipe the jailbreak and go back to standard iPhone firmware, because once you install it, yes, you get access to really cool applications, you can do all kinds of cool stuff with it, but at the same time, using it as a phone, you might as well forget it, because it has so many problems. Your best bet, if you're going to do that, have two iPhones. Have one for calls, and then have one for playing around development, or best bet, just get a regular phone for your phone calls, which I'd recommend doing that anyways, and then use the iPhone for development, screwing around, because it can be very unreliable with the jailbreak. I mean, actually, the official can be very unreliable as well, but honestly, if I was to do it again, I would just get a regular cell phone, like a BlackBerry or something. Maybe a BlackBerry, I don't know. It'd be a tough call, but I would just get a regular phone and then just get an iPod Touch if I, wanted to go with the whole iPhone, iTouch thing. I'd probably go with the iTouch instead. That's my 30-second gist on iPhone. Oh, Brad, speaking of hardware, if you ever have the need to record a microphone, like a regular XLR microphone, into your computer, you want very high quality, highly recommend this XLR to USB preamp. It's by a company called C-Entrance, and it's called the MicPort Pro. Can't remember what it retails for at the moment, but basically, you got XLR on one end, USB headphone on the other end, and the volume controls for them. Doesn't require any drivers or anything, works with Windows and Mac, and it's got phantom power built into it as well. Very, very, very nice device, very useful. Very, very useful indeed. And I've used it a lot. It looks like there's a screw missing out of it. Huh. There's no tellings. This has been used by like 15 million people. But yeah, very useful device. Can you give a quick plug for, huh? Can you reform that question for me there, Brad? In the meantime, I'm gonna hold on. Oh, and that reminds me, Brad. Speaking about microphones, if you ever have use for it, can you plug my podcast? Yeah, where you want me to plug it at? And I don't really have anything to plug it on. Speaking of microphones, this microphone rocks. This is the Asden SGM-2X, and it kicks butt for a shotgun mic with two different barrels for it. So you can use it as a very short microphone, or you can use it as a very long microphone like I am here. Very useful. I use it a lot. Cool thing is it's self-powered. So like even though I have it plugged into a mixer right now, typically if this mic wasn't a powered mic but required phantom, I would have to have phantom on, which is not easy to turn on this mixer either. That's one of the downfalls, but really you don't use phantom. That's why they make it hard to turn it on, so you don't accidentally turn it on and blow up your mics, because that can, like right now if I turned it on with this powered mic, this mic would catch fire, so don't do that. Anyways, this is a great microphone. It's self-powered, it's XLR, I can plug it in via quarter inch. Sorry, not quarter inch. Via eighth inch, which is standard headphone jack, you know. I can plug it in that way. I can plug it in over XLR. I can plug it into a camera. I can do 15 million things with it. Most of the time when I use it, it's mounted on top of the A1, which I showed you earlier. It's mounted on top of the A1. And I'm using two of those short cables here. I would just use one of these short cables and plug it right into the camera, because the A1 has XLR, has two XLRs on it. So, and that's how that works. Brad, where do you want me to plug it at? Because I really don't have, I mean, just plug it on here, but there's really nobody watching. I don't mind, but there's like nobody watching. Do I think I would ever get back into radio? Well, I mean, what's your definition of radio? You mean online radio, online broadcasting, or actual radio? Because, I mean, regular standard online, okay, yeah, because regular radio, honestly, wouldn't get into it. It's slowly dying. Online, I would consider it if it was a bigger network where I would actually be heard than these small fly-by-night little radio stations. Probably not. Creating my own radio station again? Doubtful. For an online radio station, for like a big online radio station? Yeah, I'd do it. It'd be really fun. And I mean, that's kind of a twofold question too. It'd be like, am I going to get back into podcasting? Very, very doubtful. Very doubtful. Because just don't have the time and don't really have the content to. So, yeah, man. That's my double-edged answer there.